Without further delay, I want to welcome Jennifer Gray to the Green Front.
Hi.
Jennifer, for joining us. I know it was kind of short notice, but when I realized I was doing today's program on the grassroots, I said there is one, I guess it's a movement, can we call it that, that I've been hearing about, and more buzz, more and more meetings in our area here in Marin County and really across the state and the country. And I didn't realize when I got you that you are actually the person who brought it here from England. So what better person to ask, how did this get started and when?
Okay, thanks for asking me on the show. How did it get started? It really all started with the work of permaculture educator Rob Hopkins, who was working in Kinsale in Ireland. He put together the world's first two-year degree program in permaculture, and with his students, they watched a film called The End of Suburbia and were so inspired from that film that they created a community plan that they called the Energy Dead Zone Action Plan for Kinsale, which was a timetabled response to the challenges of peak oil and climate change. It went beyond the issues of energy supply and looked at across the board creative adaptations in the realms of things like food and farming, education, economy, health, and much more. And that document whizzed around the internet, got leaked online, and inspired a sort of a movement for energy descent across the world. And then Rob took those ideas from Kinsale and moved to a place called Totnes in England, which in many ways is the green heart capital of the UK, and what he decided to do was his PhD thesis in what he called transition design, a transition towns process, which was basically the energy descent action plan from Kinsale applied at a community scale. So the Kinsale EDAP, as we call it for short, was a student-led project, and what Rob wanted to do in Totnes was create a community-led project, get everybody engaged in this transition process. And that was in 2006. He launched Transition Town Totnes, and from there, it just spread virally across the world, actually, and the UK just mushroomed. We're only in 2009 now, so in that time, we've got literally hundreds and thousands of transition initiatives sprouting up all over the place. That's it in a nutshell, Betsy.
That's a great summary, Jennifer. Is it just towns that are taking part, or does it...
No, in fact, I started the second... We prefer to call them transition initiatives now rather than transition towns, because it quickly became apparent, as I even when I was involved in the early brainstorming days with Rob about the transition process, I decided that this could be applied at any scale, and I took it to Transition Penwith, which is a district, 63,000 people, not a town. It includes three towns, but it's actually a much bigger scale, a more of a rural economy where I lived, and I did that. We launched in 2007, right after Totnes, and there are now transition islands and transition regions and transition hamlets, and so it's really been applied, taken up by different communities at lots of different scales.
I understand that there was a transition handbook that came out at the end of last year that is very detailed and very helpful for anybody who wants to learn more about it.
Yes, that's right. It's published by Green Books. It's great, the transition handbook.
And that really, what, is about a 50-page document on how to, from the beginning to, I guess there's no end, it's evolving.
Yeah, it's really an evolving model. It's so early days yet. We don't really know where we're going with it, but it's we've described it as one of the greatest social experiments of our times. It's a big experiment, and we don't know if it's going to work or not, but we think it's worth trying, you know.
I like that you say that on the website, that basically what else do we have if we don't try? That on the individual level, it's not enough. At the government level, it's too slow. And so the community level is where the rubber meets the road and where it's going to have to start being recycled rubber.
Yeah, exactly.
So I understand that you're really looking at the best of what has worked so far, but as you said, you're building it as you go forward. But it seems like you really know what you're doing. I mean, for people who are novices and amateurs at this, it's a very bright and motivated crowd. What have you sort of made as your top priorities in terms of, who the target is and where this is heading? Obviously, you want it to grow rapidly, and it seems that it is, almost has a life of its own. But put on your green dream here for a moment. What would things look like in a couple of years from now as far as transition towns?
Well, in a couple of years, right now we've got 17 official transition towns in the U.S. I guess in a couple of years' time we'd like that to be 17,000. We'd like to ramp up really fast because we think that, these issues that we're facing, peak oil and climate change, are really going to hit us hard in the next few years, and that is an urgent need for us all to begin transitioning. So we're not, Transition U.S., which I'm the co-founder of, I think you said earlier that I brought the movement to the U.S. I don't think that's a true statement. I was the co-founder of Transition US, which is a structure we put in place to support the movement that's already emerging. So in many ways, we don't have a target. We're not aggressively going out marketing and trying to reach people. We find that people are picking this up of their own accord through word of mouth or through the internet, and the uptake is very rapid. So I wouldn't say that we have a plan for developing it further, but we just hope and pray that people are taking up these ideas and developing the transition model as quickly as possible. We have a very feeling of urgency. It's a fun movement, and we like people to be inspired and positive, but we also want them to get that urgency, that we really have to start working now, and we really have to start doing the work ourselves. Nobody else is going to come along and save us.
That's what I like, that you are taking the best of what's already happened and you know, applying it to what our current challenges are, and they're, of course, huge and many, but you have an integrated approach to this so that people are not, you know, just doing it to do it or to, you know, too much in their own local community. It's local. It's really a perfect expression of think globally, act locally.
It really is, and it's very inclusive. We don't campaign against anything. We're for things. It's very positive, and we realize that everybody has to be involved, so we're not politically biased in any way. We just want everyone on board. We recognize that every single person has a role to play in their community for transition.
And as I was reading through the material, I love that you do specifically say you have a sense of urgency, because there should be.
Yes, definitely there should be.
And one doesn't get that sense necessarily, even though we're hearing so much more, you know, in mainstream media and from our new administration about the eco-challenges, beginning with climate change, but so many more, peak oil, dying oceans, you know, diminishing resources and species. But really, you know, it doesn't seem like America's doing, or any country really, as much as it should be, given the rapidity of the problems that we're facing, the domino effect.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, in transition, we at least try to give people the bad news, but also the good news. You know, that if we just give them the bad news, which a lot of environmental movements have done before, it, you know, people are disabled. They don't feel like they can do anything. They go into fear and helplessness and powerlessness and denial, and we haven't found that a useful hook. So I think that's one of the reasons why the transition movement has been so popular and engaging and hooking people into it, is because we say, hey, you know, we really can do something about this, and collectively together we can unlock this creative genius of our communities and really build positive, lasting solutions for a much more vibrant and abundant future.
Have you seen a boost in interest since we do have a new president that is never reluctant to mention energy, renewable energy, climate change, oil energy?
Are we witnessing a boost, did you say, in interest?
Yes, since Obama came in.
You know, I don't know if that's to do with the new administration, the new president, but we're certainly experiencing rapid growth. I mean, definitely there's a lot of interest, yes. And I'm not
Love really... it. And I understand you draw from the 12-step program a little bit, which is always fun. You have 12 steps. Can you give us
that's an interesting statement that you just made, but I wouldn't say we draw on the 12-step program. I know that program, and even though we have 12 steps, they're not related to the 12 steps of recovery, but it's interesting that 12...
Are they rooted in any kind of spirituality, though? And I have not...
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
I would say not. It's a good question, though.
Mm-hmm. Is there a spiritual component to this?
I think in the sense that there is an earth-based spirituality to it, yes. I wouldn't say we were inspired or... I mean, we're inclusive to everybody's faith, so I wouldn't want to say that we fell in any particular spiritual camp, but definitely... It's a soulful movement. I mean, we have this core component of it called the heart and soul, and that is, that's a spiritual component.
Mm-hmm. So Transition Towns program has 12 steps, includes 7 buts and a disclaimer. So what are the buts and what's the disclaimer?
The disclaimer is we don't really know what we're doing, so don't look to us for the answers. But together, you know, we can do this, but we that's the acknowledgement of this is a great social experiment, and we're all driving it, and we're not in charge, so... That's the disclaimer. The 7 buts are obstacles that we find people come up with that they can't start, you know, they won't start a transition initiative because, but we've got no funding, we haven't got any money, and we say that's not an issue because certainly with Transition Penwith, which I started, I did that with very little money, and you find that just people step forward to take on roles, and people will be supportive of your project, giving you, spaces and AV equipment and whatever you need to get going. But they won't let us is another but, that people are going to somehow, you know, block you, or no one cares about the environment anyway is another one, but surely it's too late to do anything. We always quote Vandana Shiva at that point, saying the uncertainty of our times is no reason to be certain about hopelessness. So we, you know, we recognize that it's within our power to do something to get through it and not to give that power away. And then other buts are, but I don't have the right qualifications. And we say, well, there, you don't need any qualifications. You just need to be positive and good with people and that sort of thing. And then another but is, but I don't have the energy for doing that. And we say, well, yes, you know, it's true. It takes a lot of energy to create a project and really make change in your community. But if you're really doing this great work, it's amazing. We've found in the transition movement, it's amazing how many people will step forward to support you and help you along the way.
And right before we go to break, I'll add another but, and that's there's strength in numbers.
But there, yeah, that's right. There are.
We're speaking with Jennifer Gray. She is the co-founder of the Transition Towns movement sweeping across America and the globe. In fact, we'll continue our conversation right after these messages. You're listening to On the Green Front.